Good morning. Good morning. Good to see everyone. Look at all those dads out there. Good morning. Good morning. Well, as Kiki's already given a shout out, I'd like to likewise just give a shout out to all the dads. Come on. My name is Brad Cooper. I'm the pastor here at New Beginnings Community Church and a dad of four. And as Kiki had mentioned, I got a couple of wonderful fathers, my biological father, my stepfather. Like I said on Mother's Day, the Lord knew that it took two moms to raise me. Likewise, two dads to raise me. So a shout out to R. Dean Cooper, my biological father, and Chuck Miller, my stepdad. Both men are very precious to me, and I'll be reaching out to both of them this afternoon. As I mentioned, my name is Brad. I'm the pastor here. If you are visiting with us here this morning, we are so glad you are here. We just have one simple request. In the chair in front of you, there's a pocket with some cards and some envelopes. One of them is a contact card. Would you just take a minute, fill that out, and put it in the offering plate when it's passed here in a minute. If you don't make the plate, you can put it in the gray box attached to the sound booth back there. And also, there are prayer request cards. And church, I will never stop mentioning and reminding the importance of prayer. Also, that prayer is a part of our church's DNA. We take prayer very seriously here. We collect these cards. Likewise, you can put it in the plate or put it in the box in the back. But we take these cards and then we compile them and we put them in a packet form. Now, sometimes these packets aren't always out on Sundays, but usually by Monday morning, they're out and they are updated about every other week. We compile these, gather them, pray over them, then we put them in the packet and we continue to pray over them and they'll stay in the packet posted for about 30 to 45 days, depending on what on the podium in the entryway. Pick one of these up. And, you know, Kiki and I sometimes will not be able to pray through all of them in any one setting, but we could crank out 5 or 10 within a 10 or 15 minute period. And we'll just kind of check those off. And then we'll, the following day, just flip the sheet and we'll continue to work our way through the booklet. So whatever your strategy is in prayer, whatever your rhythms in life are, I just want to continue to encourage you to lift people up in prayer. God is a God of answered prayers. Amen. He hears them all and He responds according to His good and perfect will. With that said, with the ushers come, we're going to take up this morning's tithes and offerings. I've been challenging the church to sow into the parking lot. I announced a couple of weeks ago that due to the growth of the church, on any given Sunday, and of course, unfortunately, funerals and some of the other dates, we need more parking. And we have an overflow field that works some of the time. Some of the time it gets kind of messy. You know what I mean? It rains here in this county, and it's just a hot mess when it gets, it's a bog. Yes, very quick. So we would like to expand that sometime this summer. We're raising close to $100,000 for 50 new spots. So I challenge y'all to take this home, pray over it. If you've brought that, don't forget, just drop that in the basket as well. And one more note on the offering for the parking lot is that there's been an anonymous donor that said, every dollar that comes in, I will match it dollar for dollar. So your donation will automatically be doubled, and I thank you so much for your generosity for that. All right, well, let's pray. I'm going to pray over the offerings. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for who you are. We sang it today, Lord. You're a good, good Father. You provide. You continue to provide. You clothe us. You feed us. You guide us. You're always there. Whenever we turn our heart toward home, Lord, you are there. And we thank you for that. And God, keeping in the attitude of worshiping you and walking out our salvation and pressing in to you. And Lord, we respond in obedience with our tithes. with our offerings. God, thank you, Lord, for all that has come in. And Lord, we want to be good stewards of that which comes in. So Lord, we pray your blessing and guidance upon that which is collected today. We thank you, Lord. We pray all of this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, as the ushers make their way, I want to share with you today something that is very near and dear to my heart. If you know me for any length of period of time, you know that I use that catchphrase quite often, near and dear to my heart. That means it's kind of up close and personal. It's something on the forefront of my mind. It's something that I think about often. So it's near to me, but it's also dear to my heart. It's a part of who I am. I want it forever to be transforming my heart. As we enter the kingdom, at the moment of conversion, when we enter the kingdom, we strive our entire lives to be more Christ-like. And we can't do it on our own, right? We can't change on our own. We need the Holy Spirit. And God promises us that Holy Spirit. And really, because God didn't make robots, he leaves it up to us, really, to press in, to go farther up and farther in. Now, there are times, there are seasons, there are situations where he will come in and wreck our world for his glory and for his sake. He'll come in and interrupt something. He'll come in and arrest us at any given period of time. But in between some of these interjections that he makes mysteriously, we are given the freedom to seek him out or to ignore him. And he's chosen it to be that way. Even after conversion, we run into these times where we don't feel like we are on fire for God. We don't feel like praying, maybe. We don't feel like carving out a chunk of time of our day, of our week, to sit at his feet, to worship, to listen to the Lord. And the part that's near and dear to my heart is that I want to be a person, a follower of Christ, who is forever seeking the Lord, seeking his refreshing power, seeking a refreshment from the Lord, a fresh touch, a gesture of intimacy. I want to touch the heart of God frequently. But I'm here to confess that I'm like you. It can be very difficult. We can come into seasons of stagnation. We can get stale in our faith. And church, when we're stale in our faith, when we don't seek a time of refreshing, when we don't press in, when we don't carve out the time and give him his due attention, we can grow stagnant. We can, unfortunately, in those seasons of stagnation, choose something else to satisfy us. Are you relating to me? Are you relating? And it's in those times of stagnation that we actually create something else that we think will fill that void that we're feeling. So sometimes it's obvious. Sometimes we know that we're going a little sideways. We're getting a little rebellious. We've got a micro season of the prodigal. We take off from the plantation. We take off from the house of the Lord and we do our own thing. Sometimes it's not quite that overt or obvious, but sometimes it just creeps up and just kind of comes at us from the side, maybe not even knowing. And here we are, we created something, or we're seeking something, or we're entertaining things that we were before resistant of and pushing back. Times of refreshing. This is what we should be seeking. You know, the Israelites were no different than us, really. They would sense God's hand, sense his blessing, sense his deliverance, his delivering hand from all kinds of afflictions, all kinds of hardships. God would show up and they were thankful for that. And they would thank him and praise him. And then over time, you know the stories in the Old Testament, they would grow stagnant. They would go stale. And God would oftentimes send a prophet to go and to preach to the Israelites and say, hey, come on, what you're doing is toxic. You're not treating the Lord, the Savior, like He should. You're not carving out those times. You're not doing what you need to do. You're not doing your part in response to His saving grace and measures. Jeremiah chapter 2, you don't have to turn there. I'll read it. Verse 13 says this. The prophet said, for my people have committed a double evil. They have abandoned me, the fountain of living water, and dug cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that cannot hold water. Think about your dry and stale seasons. What have you created? What have you tried to hold something that would satisfy you, only to find out that it doesn't hold muster, that doesn't hold that which you want to ingest and be replenished or to be refreshed? We're tempted to do that in those seasons of staleness and stagnation. When we feel our faith growing stale, we oftentimes grab towards something instead of going to the one that can truly quench our thirst, the one that can provide for us. Well, church, if you think back, let me put you in a time capsule just for a minute. Think back to the time that you gave your heart to Jesus Christ. Go back to that time just for a minute in your recollection. Go back to what was leading up to your conversion and think about the days and the weeks and the months, and for some of us, the years after that conversion, after that demarcation point, the things that we testify to, right? And we heard an excellent testimony from Luke Stallman on Wednesday, a powerful testimony of his time of conversion, his time of arrest, really, no pun intended, his time of saying no more and yes to God, where God showed up. And then things dramatically changed. There was a time of refreshing. There was a shift. That which was stale and stagnant came alive. Well, not only at the time of conversion, but I had just articulated, we get into seasons where we long for those days in which we had those first loves, those first things that we experienced on the heels of conversion. And you know, the pattern is the same throughout Scripture. If we're coming into the kingdom for the first time, or we're coming back to the house of God figuratively, or if we just want a fresh touch, the patterns look the same in Scripture. God's created this way to get back to Him the same way. The first time getting into the kingdom, the time which we come back after playing the prodigal or running from Him, creating our own cisterns, you fill in the gaps, or just simply going after Him for a fresh touch, seeking a time of refreshing. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. I'm just going to read a few verses here. Verses 17 through 21. Now, before I read, let me just give you a little context here. Peter has just witnessed a miraculous miracle at his hands, really. God did the miracle working, but the lame man was touched. He was healed. And the onlookers are wanting to know what has just happened. Now, this is days after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost. This is just days after, and the Spirit is still moving. Matter of fact, just a few verses prior talks about the advancement of the kingdom, and thousands were actually saved on the heels of what the disciples were doing and saying and propagating. So you got some onlookers, and they're wanting to know, what's going on with this guy healing? What is this? We've heard, we've seen, there's rumors out on the street. What's going on? Follow with me as I read verse 17 through 21. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouths of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your holy word. And Lord, embedded in what I have just read appears to be a pattern of how to experience refreshing. Salvation, refreshing, intimacy, and more. God, you are an infinite God. There is no cap on what you will give us. So Lord, as we look at this pattern, God, I pray, if someone is with us here today who does not know you, God, let them grab hold of this pattern and exercise it according to your sovereign hand. If someone's here today and they need a touch, a time of refreshing, if they feel stagnant in their faith walk, God, I pray that they would look at this pattern and that they would respond, and God, that you would show up and give them a season, a time of refreshing. God, let my words be your words. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Just in this response are four steps, four components, really, to this time of refreshing. And again, I can't stress enough, don't check out. If you're walking with the Lord and everything is going great and you have no besetting sins in your life right now, if you don't feel stagnant, don't check out, because you may need to share this with somebody this coming week that God puts in your path. But if you're here today and you don't know the Lord, watch this pattern. If you're here today, you're feeling stagnant, you want a touch, you want a time of refreshing, you're thirsty for more of God, watch this pattern. So the application is multiple. Multiple applications here. But let's go through the four steps, these four components. The first that we see in verse 19, repent. Now these boneheads are saying to themselves, what's going on? Somebody's been healed. Well, yeah. Did you not hear what had happened to the Christ? Peter gives them an out. He says, you were ignorant of this. You know, you didn't quite get it the first time. Let me tell you, if that was me preaching to those people, I would be tempted to be like, you know what? You catered in some way, shape, or form to the crucifixion? Or you stood by and did nothing to the crucifixion of our Lord? You were apathetic. You deserve what you get. And I wouldn't have given him a time of day. That's not Peter. Why? I believe he is soaked with the Holy Spirit. Grace, grace, grace. You were ignorant. You followed your rulers. I get it. I've been there. I've rejected the Lord. Oh, by the way, just a few weeks ago, we reconciled on the beach before breakfast. I don't know. This is his MO. He's excited. He says, oh, you guys were ignorant, but this is what you got to do. You can be a part of it. You want to join? Just listen up. Repent. Repent. About 8 months ago, I unpacked this word, metanoia. And I think sometimes in the church, we think of repentance as first changing behavior. It's really not changing behavior quite yet. That's the next step. It's really changing your mind. I've said this oftentimes. This is something also near and dear to my heart. I say aha moments. Like the light goes on, right? You now get it. You understand. There's something cognitively that clicks. Do you remember studying that subject that you really weren't quite good at? For me, it was math. And then something happened. It clicked for me. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's the quadratic formula. Now, why is that funny? Something happens cognitively. That's metanoia. There's a truth that clicks and you say, yes, that's it. What did they used to say? I can't even remember where it was. Maybe it was SNL. That's the ticket. Remember that? That's it. That's it. Right? So he's saying, have that aha moment. Think about it. Repent. Change the way you're viewing this Christ. Change the way you are viewing what has just happened. Look, you're asking a question. Why is this guy healed? What has gone on? Repent. Change your mind about the way you have been living and the way you have been processing things. Last week, we talked about summertime sins, right? And I said very clearly that there was not only this repentance factor of, hey, don't embark upon these sins, but the gospel says, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. There's this cognition, there's this logical part, there's this analysis that needs to happen. But we don't stop with just the aha moment. And that brings us to step number two. Turn back. Repent. And then what does he say? Turn back. So on the heels of what has gone on in your mind, it will very quickly segue into the physical. There needs to be a physical response to your repentance. Now, for me, when I repented, when I had this aha moment, when I asked Jesus Christ into my heart, I got up and I knew I needed to make some changes. I know I needed to change the way I was living. I knew I needed to quit doing some of the things that I was habitually doing. There were some things physically I needed to change. There were some friends for a season I needed to say, I can't go out anymore. I can't go to those places that we used to hang. I can't engage in those conversations. I need to change some things physically. Turn back. Repent, therefore, and turn back. Do something physically. Now, this Greek word, apestrepho. Apestrepho is not just a physical component. It's used actually as a physical component coupled with, kind of hovering over, a spiritual truth. And it fits very nicely, right, with changing our mind. Then we, estrepho, change something physically that's overladen with a truth concerning our spiritual aspects. The physical, in Mark chapter 5, verse 30, at once Jesus realized that the power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my cloth? This was the healing power that left Jesus' body. He estrepho around. He turned around, but there was a spiritual significance. So park that for a minute. Moreover, the spiritual side of this word of changing something, turning back of the physical. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 says this, if the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace, the Spirit of Christ, return, turn around, back to you. So this Greek word is not just the physical, but it is in the context of a spiritual truth. So you've got a change of mind and thinking that quickly gives birth to some physical changes overladen with a spiritual truth that you need to make. Now, I've just articulated conversion. What about times of refreshing? What about getting with God and restoring that newness in a sense, those items, those thoughts, those passions of your first love when you were born again? What about me? Maybe you're going along and again, just stagnation, nothing, you know, overt, you know, you're not, you know, this besetting sin is not part of your character. It's not part of your life. But you just want more. The same thing. You've got to physically change something to your schedule, to the clock, to the way we do things, to what we sing and say, our postures, There's a part of it that God says, I want this truth, this aha moment, to spawn something that's physically now a part of your life. What does that mean? I don't know. I think it would mean something different for each and every one of you. Some of you, it's just simply going to church on a regular basis. You're physically getting up, carving out that time, getting with the masses, coming into this assembly, lifting your voice. Sometimes it's not having your quiet time 3 times a week. Maybe it's 5 times or 7 times a week. Maybe it's something that you're not there with your worship or your declaration or sharing your testimony or articulating the things of God that you know He wants you to. And you know that there's a connection between a time of refreshing and what comes out of your mouth. Song, words, or reading Scripture. So there's a cognitive change, and then there's a physical something or another that needs to happen. We see this with this guy. Repent, turn back. Now, these guys probably were engulfed in sin. Again, the context here is salvation, but the pattern is the same. If you want a time of refreshing, if you want that heaven that is coming down, the kingdom right now and yet to come, if you want that increased stuff that we're all going to inherit at the time of Jesus' return or our last breath, if you want more of that, follow this pattern. It's how we got into the kingdom. It's how we stay in the kingdom, figuratively speaking. The benefits of the kingdom, not salvation. The bennies, being immersed in the Spirit of God. Now, the first two have a lot to do with what we do. The next two that I'm going to list is what He does. Amen? I know the first two are a little painful in a sense. They kind of rock our world in a sense. They can confront us. They can kind of hit us. I've joked before, sometimes I step on toes. I hate any my toes stepped on. My bishop steps on my toes. The Pauls in my life step on my toes. The first two can be toe steppers. I get it. And as you probably just heard me articulate different things that you need to change, you felt that little, oh, he's talking to me. Oh, yeah, I could do that. Yeah, I feel a little stagnant. Yeah, I want the refreshing. Am I willing to make this change? First two with us, now the second two. Him. Just keep moving along. Blotted out. Blotted out. On the heels of our changing of the mind, turning direction, changing the behaviors, we get the blotted out. He forgives us of our sin. At the moment of conversion, we are now justified like we had never sinned before. Blotted out. If we've been walking with the Lord, let's say we've been walking with Him 10 years, and we just need a season of refreshing, a time of refreshing, and we feel the fellowship is has been breached, it's distant, it's stagnant, and we have an aha moment, we do some things, we change in the physical, overlaid with the spiritual, the fellowship comes rushing back. He blots out. He closes the gap. Nothing legally changes in our life, but the fellowship comes back. One of the most powerful things my mentor, my Paul, said to me, his name was Scott Plavnik, Baptist minister from Canada, Mississauga. He's back up there now, looking for the day I can see him again and hug his neck. He baptized me. He spent a year and a half with me. He said to me early on, because I had come to him, I said, you know, I've been doing great. I've made some changes. I had my aha moments. I was making changes. I said, but there's this one thing. There's this one thing that just keeps... He's like, okay. He says, you know, you're not going to look like Jesus within weeks of conversion. You're not. He said, but do this. When you mess up, when you step in it, he says, immediately go to the throne of grace, boldly, because of who you are as a child of God, confess your sin. Something in the fellowship realm is mended. Remember when Jesus was baptized, the Spirit came down like a dove? I believe one of the reasons why He uses the metaphor of a dove is because what happens when a dove is startled? It immediately takes off. we can be walking in the Spirit and we can really step in it and we feel filthy, right? Legally, nothing has changed. We're saved. But in terms of fellowship, the change can happen. And when that change, when that fellowship is strained or you feel like relationally the Spirit has been moved away or you're just not sensing the Spirit of God, what do? Follow this pattern and it'll come back. It will come back. So, the sins get wiped away and there's a washing and an anointing that happens. This word, blotted out in the Greek, alexipho, actually not only is a legal term that washes away our sins, but there's an anointing. There's like a salve component to the washing away. It's like when Jesus talks on the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about peacekeepers. Peacekeepers are not just people that have the absence of war or fighting. Peacekeepers are actually those who don't engage in fighting and warring, but they replace that with peace. Abraham Lincoln tapped into this. He says, you know what? Peace is more than just removing the weed from the field. It's removing the weed and replacing it with a flower. That's what this word in the Greek means. He blots out our sin. He removes our sin at the moment of conversion, but he replaces it when we go back to him with something beautiful, something refreshing, something that's a part of him. A closer intimacy, a subsequent filling, another work of grace, another measure of grace that takes up in our personhood. Colossians, just on these two notes, Colossians chapter 2 nails home the wiping away of sins. Listen to what Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. Having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away. He's nailed it to the cross. Praise God, salvation. We are now completely innocent of all of those sins, yesterday's, today's, and tomorrow forevermore. In Revelation, a glimpse of really what's going on with our personhood throughout our lives. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 17 says this, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, all of us, and he will lead them to springs of living water. There's that healing salve. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is a glimpse of the reality that is right now and yet to come. Are you following me? If you want a fresh touch, if you want a time of refreshing, if you want this springs of living water, the reality that which we can partake now of, go after him. Seek him. Change your mind. Make some physical adjustments. Do some tweaking in your lives. Understand that we stand before a living God, cleansed. That's the reality. And what happens on the heels of that? A time of refreshing. A time of refreshing. Verse 20. And that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And there it is. What's the refreshing part of it? It's more of Him. It's the presence of God in our lives. It's the stuff of God. How many of you have been in the presence of somebody and they just left a praise service or, on the heels of conversion, they've just been, in the presence of God and you haven't been a part of that atmosphere, but you come into proximity with that person and you just sense that something's different about them. There's like a glow. Am I alone in this? There's like an aura that changes. I don't want to get weird, but there's like their countenance changes. There's like a smile that's normally not there. There's just things that this person is exuding that you're like, wow, that's the stuff of God. That's the encounter that they just had with God. And it's not just for them. It's for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us can experience a time of refreshing. Follow the pattern. Follow the pattern. You might say, I was blessed. let's see, what night was it? Wednesday night. A sister in this church, won't mention her name. I don't have permission. But she says, Pastor, can I pray for you? I said, absolutely. Absolutely. She grabbed my hands. And the first part of her prayer was just simply, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. And just, you know, she just took that posture of humility. She just cleaned the slate. She just said, you know, short accounts. I probably didn't live perfect this last day. Just, Lord, forgive me of my sins. God, just come into our presence right now. Then she turned and prayed for me. And I felt the presence of God. I felt the presence of God that ministered to me. Why? She just very quickly followed the pattern. We can follow the pattern. It happens. We get stale. We go through life. Things, you know, can muck us up. But we just go and we think about something, make some changes, press in, double our quiet time. I mean, you all have different ways of pressing in, going farther up and farther in, right? The time of refreshing is on the heels of that. This is that pattern. This is what comes. This Greek word refreshing, and church, forgive me, I butcher some of these Greek words, but I tell you, no matter how many times I click blue letter, you know, Bible, and the little guy that records these Greek words, his pronunciation is so much better than I, but this word in the Greek is anaousis. Go figure. Look it up on your own. Blue letter Bible, click it. I think it's Strong's 403. Correct me if I'm wrong, but time of refreshing. It's a cooling, satisfying presence. So it's not just that we're in the presence of God and it's absolutely fearful. That does happen sometimes. But there's something that happens that's a benefit to us that's detectable. Texas heat, you're out there. You come into an air-conditioned room, how cool is that? You're like, whew, you feel refreshed. You're dying outside. You don't think you can make it. You come in, you're refreshed, and guess what? You're ready to start something new. That's what I get when I see this word and I look at it used in these passages. It's like there's a cooling and satisfying component to what he's saying. And then presence, that second part, prosopon, the presence of God, the refreshing due to the presence of God. This Greek word means in your face, in a really good way. In your face. God wants to get in your face. Wow. Do you know what keeps us from seeking the face of God oftentimes? Is that we're afraid of what he's going to reveal when we're in his presence. Back to those leaky cisterns. Sometimes we start to love our cisterns. But church, I've told you, and I tell myself, better is the Lord. Better in his presence one day than 1,000 elsewhere, right? We sing that truth. It's better. It might be frightening. It might be convicting. Hallelujah. Welcome it. It's going to be refreshing. He's a good, good father. We sang that, right? I wrote down a note. It just struck me when Kathy was lifting her voice. He goes and he calls us to a deeper place. He calls us not to stay currently where we're at. He's forever saying, come on, I got more for you. There's more. There's more refreshing. It's going to be good. It's going to be better than anything that this world can offer you. That's what the Bible teaches. That's the pattern that's laid out. Times of refreshing. You know what's a miserable place? Is seeing someone's back of the head. You ever been engaging someone and they turn around and they leave you and you see the back of their head? That's the opposite. That's the opposite of pronosopon. The front, the face of God. Get before him. Seek him. Go after him. Let me just jump over to a very familiar portion of Scripture to reiterate this, and then we're going to close it out. This same pattern that I just articulated in this brief exchange between an onlooker of a miracle, Peter and his ministry, Jesus talks about when he is sharing who he wants us to think about concerning his Father, how he wants us to think about concerning his Father. A familiar portion of Scripture, Luke chapter 15, the prodigal. You know it. I'm not going to read it. It's in entirety. I'm going to just jump right down to verse 17. Listen to this. We know the story. The younger brother comes. He says, give me my inheritance. Father willingly gives him what's rightfully his. Takes off. Spends it on wild living. And then listen to what happens. Spends his money. He's fully entrenched in debauchery. The list goes on and on. And in verse 17 says, that brought him to his senses. Something shifted. Something happened. Brought him to his senses. He said, all of the farm workers for my father sit down and eat three meals a day, and here I am starving to death. I'm going to go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned against you. I don't deserve to be called your son. Take me on as a hired hand. He got up and he went to his home to be with his father. When he was still a long way off, his father saw him. His heart pounded, ran to him, embraced him, kissed him. The son started his speech, Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son ever again. But the father wasn't listening. He was calling to his servants, quick, bring a clean set of clothes and dress him. Put the family ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Get the prize-winning heifer and roast it. We're going to feast. We're going to have a wonderful time. My son here, given up for dead, and now is alive. Given up for lost, now he is found. And they began to have a wonderful time. Did you see the pattern, the four steps? Repent, in verse 17, brought to his senses. He was brought to his senses. Something happened cognitively. Number two, turn back. He got up, verse 19 says, he got up and he went home to his father. Number three, blotted out. The father's heart was pounding. He ran out and embraced him and kissed him. The fellowship was restored. And number four, verse 23, get the prize-winning heifer and roast it. We're going to feast. We're going to have a wonderful time. Time of refreshing. And that pattern plays out over and over and over in Scripture and in our lives. But we never have to leave the property. We don't have to leave the house. But if we do, we can go back. Something can happen here. We can make some changes. Understand who we are in Christ. Experience the refreshing from our Lord. Where are you? Where are you? You may be here this morning and you're like, yeah, I gotcha. Got into the kingdom that way. Things are going pretty well, but I get you. I need a fresh touch. I need a time of refreshing. I get it. And let me just declare one thing over you concerning who our Father is. Listen up. Luke chapter 11, verses 11 through 13 says this. Which of you fathers, if your son asked for a fish, would give him a snake instead? Or if he asked for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That is a truthful characterization of our Father in heaven. I believe that's where that song was based on, Good, Good Father. He's a good Father. Wherever we are, seeking refreshment, being refreshed currently, wherever we are, there's more. And when we ask him, ask in faith. He's a good father. He's not going to give you a substitute. He won't. And did they, yeah, I got my guys positioned to bring something out to the foyer, a little gift for you. On Mother's Day and Father's Day, we like to give you a little something. And I put about 100 of these Dad's Root Beers on ice last night. And I want you to take one or two. We have enough. I think there's about 50 dads plus here. I have over 100 of the bottles. Take one or two. They're ice cold. And go ahead and crack it. And think about what it means to be refreshed. Ooh, that's good. Sarsaparilla. I actually thought about doing root beer on one side and real beer on the other, but the facts would be calling me on Monday, probably saying, tell us more. What's going on? And Jim was like, no, no, no. Don't you dare. Refreshing. Refreshing. God wants to refresh us. He's a good father. He wants to give us good stuff. He doesn't want to give us filthy water. He wants to give us a root beer, right? A time of refreshing. He's available 24/7. He's there. So let me close this in prayer. And I'm gonna ask just one simple way to respond. With eyes closed and heads bowed, as the worship team makes their way up, I'm going to pray just a blanket prayer of blessing upon all of us. But if you're here today and you want a fresh touch, if you want a time of refreshing, would you just lift your hand when I pray? Not yet. When I pray, I want you just to lift your hand with eyes closed and heads bowed. And then I'm going to pray for those who lifted their hand. I'm going to have two of my hands raised because I want more of God. I want more of God. I want more of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your grace, your goodness, your love, and your kindness. And Lord, this is a good message. It can be a message of conviction, though. Lord, we welcome your Holy Spirit. We welcome whatever you want to do with us. And Lord, I know I want more of you. I want an extended time of refreshing. Lord, over these last few years, I have sensed your presence a number of times. I mean, intimately, I've sensed your hand. I've sensed the blessing. I've sensed the refreshing. But I know you give more. God, you respond. You want intimacy. You've created us that way. And so right now, I pray that every person in here that wants more of God would just quickly raise their hand. Just quickly raise their hand. Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. More of God. And Lord God, you see these hands. God, you hear our hearts. And God, I pray for a fresh touch. I pray for seasons of refreshing. We pray this right now. And Lord, interesting way, I think this is the best Father's Day gift we can give you, is to confess in truth, saying we want more of you. So Lord, we give you more of us to you. We say yes, yes, and amen. Take us. Bring us closer to you. Mighty God, mighty King, King of kings and Lord of lords, we worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen.